Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news to start out this NFL Live. We bring in the man that broke the news earlier today, Jeff Darlington. What more can you tell us about Deebo Samuel's future?
Well, Deebo Samuel told me today, Field, that he has told the organization he would like to be traded out of San Francisco. This coming after he wiped his social media of all references to San Francisco, but making clear to me that that is the case. He no longer wants to be part of the team. He said he'd like to keep the reasons private for now, but very clear on this, Field. He wants to be out of San Francisco.
Wow, Jeff, an offseason of wide receiver blockbusters continues. More from Jeff in just a moment as we welcome in the rest of our crew, which includes Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark, and Adam Schefter as well. And Schefty, what more can you add on this Deebo Samuel situation?
Well, Deebo Samuel's caliber comes out and tells Jeff, as he did, that he wants to be traded. But this is not an easy deal to complete for a few reasons. Number one, you've got to compensate the 49ers, who I think they view Deebo Samuel as one of the best, if not the best player on their football team, and would want an awful lot in return for a player of his caliber who means that much to that offense. And not only do you have to compensate the 49ers, but you also then have to compensate Deebo Samuel with one of these wide receiver deals that's going around, the likes of which went to Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs. And so when you talk about all the compensation that would have to go to San Francisco and Deebo Samuel, it makes it a very difficult deal to pull off. Not that it can't be, but in a draft that's rich at wide receiver, there may be teams out there that view it as such that they'd rather take a young receiver, try to bring him along, and move that direction rather than pull off the latest blockbuster trade in the NFL.
Yeah, cost control is something we'll talk about a lot over the next week. Hey, Swaggy, I want to ask you, my first reaction was maybe Jeff Darlington just got hacked because I couldn't believe it. What was your first reaction when you saw this news?
Yeah, I'll let y'all deal with all the money and the draft picks and all of the damn trades. Listen, I tweeted out as soon as Jeff Darlington broke this news, Deebo Samuel feels like a Raven. But I'm telling y'all, y'all know where I want him to go. And I know it's going to get on y'all nerves, and I know y'all going to hate for me to say it, but my first reaction was, Dallas, please get on the phone. Let the man go there. We need a tone setter. We need a guy that's going to change the culture and how they play football in Dallas. And we know Deebo Samuel is one of those dudes who impacts how everybody else around them plays. I would love to have, just picture this for a second with me, guys. On the offensive side of the football, I got Deebo Samuel,
okay,
who's a dog, who not only barks, but he jumps off the porch when it's time to fight. And I got Micah Parsons on the defensive end, who is not only a dog, but jumps off the porch when it's time to fight. That would be the dream scenario. And honestly, babyface, that's what I thought first.
Listen, that might be a dream for the Dallas Cowboys, but that would be an absolute nightmare for every team in the NFC East. But the first thing that comes to mind when,
yes,
I see Deebo Samuel,
yes,
saying he wants out of San Francisco is this money then got y'all messed up. Hey, listen, there's a famous movie called Menace to Society, and Kane is sitting in there telling his stories, and he out there lying, and the man say, you know you done messed up, don't you? That's what the league has done. Now that you're giving these wide receivers this quarterback money, and there are so many receivers that are deserving, these guys are going to say, I either want out or I want my bread. The league is different now. This is turning into basketball. It used to be only a couple of quarterbacks could call their shots. Now we're getting these big-name wide receivers saying when and where and for how much money they want to play. And Deebo Samuel is not just a good football player. Deebo Samuels is not just a good wide receiver, a good running back. He's the best player on the San Francisco's 49ers entire offense. And he's the guy that made that thing go from the beginning of the season until the end. And so the San Francisco 49ers need to be doing everything they can to keep him, or some wide receiver hungry teams that need a number one need to be doing everything they can to get him, because he has made for sure known he's not a project. He's not somebody we got to bring along from the draft. He's an absolute dog, like Marcus Spears said, and you need them boys that's going to jump off the porch. And he has shown not only will he jump off the porch, but he going to bite.
Well, listen, we are entering
a time now where players,
more so than ever, great players are dictating where they go. Yeah. It's an era of player empowerment. We saw Matthew Stafford last year, Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years. We've seen Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill. Everybody's got to say the great players and where they wind up. This is another example of a player wanting to move on. I don't believe, from what I've heard, that it has to do with the money here. I think this is more of an issue maybe of geography. There are a lot of issues, I'm sure. We'll wait to hear what Deebo Samuel has to say on this. But I think it's simply you have somebody who's from South Carolina who got drafted out to San Francisco. They picked him. He didn't pick them. And just imagine anybody leaving school at a certain time and being told, we want you to move across the country. Not a lot of people would be in favor of that. But I think Deebo Samuel is more comfortable back east, back closer to home, somewhere around there. I think this could be an issue so much just basically not want to be in California at this point in time. I think there's a lot to this, but it comes back to your point, Ryan. Players, more so than ever, are gathering a stronger and stronger voice about where they will go and what they will do. And here we'll have another example playing out leading into the NFL draft. And by the way, not the only one, maybe.
Ooh.
All right, so take all of that, though. Take everything that we've just said and consider that there will be a breaking point at some point, because now we've got a situation where, okay, you got to think about what teams have the compensation potentially to give up, what teams have the money to also extend him with that contract, and what teams have the needed wide receiver. And then finally, as you mentioned, Adam, if this is geographical, what teams are in a place where Deebo would want to play? All of a sudden, that list starts to get very, very narrow. And then can the 49ers find a suitor similar to the way that the Chiefs found the Dolphins and were able to get a boatload of picks in return, and Tyreek Hill ended up getting that deal? Can the 49ers find somewhere to send Deebo? That might not be easier said than done. I think this is a scenario we're going to have to see it play out, but definitely going to be complicated in the coming weeks.
Shefty, I like all those points you made, and I honestly know, Jeff, you just came off, but I was thinking about what Shefty said about geography and the money. But to me, like, look, man, NFL players, and I understand the tax ramifications and all of the things that transpire in California, but it is very hard for me to believe that the San Francisco 49ers watched Deebo Samuel and what he meant to their offense, and we get to this point without it being some sort of bad blood in this process. Like, something had to transpire between these guys, between Kyle and Lynch and somebody in that brass for Deebo Samuel to want to leave. The last image I have of Deebo Samuel is going crazy and telling us he loves Kyle Shanahan. That's the last impression that I remember from this past season. So to me, it really boils down to money. For me, like, they are, I don't know if they're not willing to pay him what he's asking for. I don't know what type of market he wants to be in. But ultimately, from where we ended in the offseason to now, it didn't seem like any bad blood. This seems like a money issue to me.
What it's crazy, Marcus. Like, that seems like
Go ahead, Adam. Kyle Shanahan has been very open about the fact publicly that Deebo Samuel is somebody that's incredibly important. We all know what he means to that offense. By the way, they've been great for each other. The 49ers, great to Deebo. Deebo, great to the 49ers. And if this were a money issue, they would just go sign him. We know what the market is for these top wide receivers. They're not running from that. The issue right now is that he doesn't want to be there for whatever reason. Jeff spoke to him. He could outline those reasons better than I can. But right now, he doesn't want to be there, and it goes beyond the money.
RC, final word.
Like that. That's what's getting crazy to me, though. Like, we dealt with this with Aaron Rodgers, and it went beyond the money. And the whole offseason, we're prognosticating, okay, what is it? Is it a relationship issue? Is it a seat at the table issue? And now with Deebo Samuel, like, I think it's money. It seemed like it would be money. But maybe it is geography. Maybe it's some type of beef. But we are getting to a point where the personal relationships between players and their teams are becoming issues on whether or not the players are there. And I don't know if we've ever been at that point in the NFL. This is some James Harden level type stuff. And we have never seen NFL players with this sort of power.
NBA playoffs going on, the start of the baseball season, the end of the hockey regular season, and football finds its way to the top of the news cycle. And speaking of that, just 8 days until the NFL draft in Las Vegas. And with that, we welcome in a special guest, a little crossover from the NFL Network, our guy, one of the best in the business, draft analyst from NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, plus our own draft analyst, also one of the best in the business, Matt Miller, for some draft buzz. DJ, as the guest, you have first honors. What storyline is buzzing for you right now?
For me, it's Derek Stingley. This is a talented corner from LSU. Much has been said about how good he was in 2019 and how average he was over the last 2 years. But as teams have gone through the medical process and have realized he was hurt coming into this last season, so that UCLA game that we all struggled with watching him play, just throw that out. Had a fantastic pro day. He's not getting out of the top 10.
Yeah, DJ, I'm right there with you. I have a 7-round mock draft coming out Tuesday. Just let me go ahead and promote that here, ESPN Plus. And Stingley's in the top five. I'm a huge fan. But how about Charles Cross, the tackle from Mississippi State? We've talked so much about Ike Ekwonu, Evan Neal. Charles Cross is making a nice late push to the finish line. I've heard the New York Giants absolutely love Cross to pair with Andrew Thomas, who was a 2020 first-rounder. Do not be surprised, guys, if Charles Cross is the number seven pick in this draft to the New York Giants, maybe even over someone like Ike Ekwonu.
Well, Matt, DJ, we're talking about trading Deebo Samuel. How about Jimmy Garoppolo being traded? He may be more likely to be traded than even Deebo Samuel. Baker Mayfield is out there, and all these teams that have to make quarterback decisions also can try to get one of these veteran, experienced signal callers as well. So there is another storyline to introduce him to all the others that exist on draft day, whether or not Deebo Samuel would be traded. The 49ers, would they move on from Jimmy Garoppolo? The Browns, will they move on from Baker Mayfield? These are big decisions that loom for the teams this upcoming next week.
The NFL hasn't slept since like the 1980s. It simply never stops. We have much more to come here on NFL Live. With star players taking their talents to South Beach, we hear from Tua for the first time this offseason. Find out why RC says it's time to put up or shut up. And since we made the pre-draft trade for DJ with NFL Network, find him on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. Later, we're going to pepper him with our draft questions, as we love to do with all of our draft experts. Let's see if he can handle the heat.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NFL Live is going to the draft. We've got you covered live from Las Vegas, beginning April 27th at 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Keyshawn Johnson, and more will be together to bring you next-level analysis and the latest news from the 2022 NFL Draft. You're not going to want to miss NFL Live, live from the NFL Draft. And don't forget, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I cannot wait. Head Dolphins have added several pieces to their offense this offseason. And one of the most stunning moves of the offseason so far, Miami acquired Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs. The Dolphins also shored up the left side of their offensive line by signing Teron Armstead and Connor Williams. And new head coach Mike McDaniel brings his offensive scheme with him to Miami. Tua Tagovailoa spoke today about his work with McDaniel so far.
Well, I sat down with the head coach, and we went over about 150 clips. Of throws, you know, throws that, you know, need to be better, throws that were good, you know, all sorts of throws. And the reason as to why he showed me that is it transitions to, you know, the way, you know, he kind of schemes up the offense. And really the biggest thing for us is yak. Is yak. So we want to yak the heck out of teams. Pressure is going to be there every time. You know, I don't feel more pressured that we have acquired all these guys, but it's more of an opportunity.
Marcus, I've heard you talk about guys being on the yak. This is a different kind of yak that Tua was referring to be very clear. But let me ask you this, Wagyu. What does success look like for Tua this season?
He piqued my interest. He piqued my interest, babyface.
Of course.
Piqued my interest.
What does success look like for him this year?
Look, man, I success for Tua has to unequivocally show that he is the guy that can take this franchise where it is. Look, the investment has been made. Like, it's almost like, giving you a platter, bro. Like, you got all of these options. We've set you up for in a position to be successful. More importantly, offensive line-wise, getting Terron Armstead. But also, you look at the weapons, and we talk about Tyreek Hill. But for the sake that of getting to RSC and talking about this, it's all there for Tua. This is a quarterback's dream. Don't get it twisted. You got two guys where you can throw a five-yard pass, and it can go 80. Two or three times a game.
Yep.
And that's going to show up as Tua's passing yards at the end of the game. Now, we'll analyze it and break it down. But ultimately, when you look at this team currently constructed and what we think Mike McDaniel offense will look like, Tua will have no escape from not even playing at a very high level or a low level. And they should compete with the Buffalo Bills based on personnel where we are now for that division.
This is a leave no doubt year. You're going to leave no doubt that you are the guy, or you're going to leave no doubt that you are not, because everything you need is there. Growing up, Sundays were my favorite day of the week. And here's why. One, we'd go to church very early in the morning. I was Southern Baptist, so you know if you got to church for 8, you wasn't leaving until 11:30, and it's Central Time, so you had to rush home. But I was going to get to watch the Saints, and my parents was going to take me to Piccadilly. When you went to Piccadilly, you just had all that food there for your disposal. You could get whatever you want. You got the dilly plate. You could get 2 sides. You could get fried chicken. You're going to get a bun. Tua got everything. Souffle. He got the bun. He got the fried chicken. Carrot souffle. He got mashed potatoes and gravy, but he has to feast. If Tua does not feast, if Tua isn't a large part of this team getting to the playoffs, competing with the Buffalo Bills, and having a chance to do damage, he is done. They have given him everything he needs, not only to compete, but to excel. And if he doesn't, that is on him. And I believe they'll have to make a decision to go in a different direction at that position.
There's like at least once a show where RC starts on an analogy, and I have no idea where he's going with it, but it's like getting on the roller coaster. You're not going to make it to
the
end.
Best.
And then you make it to the end.
The best in the game.
And it all makes sense, RC. So thank you for enlightening me. Go back to Swagoo, though. We talk about Tua. How does he fit into this Mike McDaniel offense? Does this fit what Tua does well?
Yeah. Babyface, I'm glad you took that time to talk about RSC analysis, because I had to come out of that Piccadilly trance. Bro. You have no idea what Piccadilly means to me and Ryan Clark. But listen, this is what we perceive. What we perceive is Tua being in a position of comfort, and we've talked about this a lot with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. We're not asking you to do much. We're asking you to make 3 or 4 good throws a game.
Right.
This offense is going to take care of you. You're going to be tailor-made. You need to show up when those moments are critical and high leverage, and also just need to be able to operate this offense. And sometimes, like this game is going to cause for you to do, play outside of your mind. And if Tua can do that at the right times and those opportunities with the weapons that he has that RC just laid out, there should be no doubt that Tua can lead this team and have them as contenders. Because ultimately, the money that's been spent, all right, a 5-year, $80 million deal, we know what Tyreek Hill money is. You go get Raheem Mostert. You think they brought Mostert over because they like him or because he was killing people in that San Francisco scheme? Listen, this is all set up for Tua Tagovailoa to take the next step and prove everything. And if he does, Miami got something cooking. And if he don't, me and RC be at Piccadilly with all them options, and we'll be eating, and Tua will probably be eating with us.
Now I'm going to send you a gift card for your next birthday, which you really well deserve. I know the people are just saying to That'd themselves, let's get through the 2022.
Babyface, we got to take you to Piccadilly.
Oh, I'll be there. I might put on about 12 pounds, but I'll be there. Do not forget.
Yeah, we got to take you to
the 2023 NFL draft has plenty of quarterback prospects that the NFL is already eyeing. A huge year for quarterbacks that are currently on the fence. Not done here on NFL Live. More talk on Piccadillys, but not just that. The Carolina Panthers face a pivotal decision for the future of their franchise. We discuss what they should do with their number 6 pick and why Matt thinks they shouldn't even make it. What should they do instead?
Or see that carrot souffle be busting, boy. That carrot souffle be busting.
I have a very unique family situation. Two female parents, very loving, very caring, and very supportive parents. Very fortunate that I was able to, you know, have them and to lean on them, and really never really had that father figure in my life, but didn't really feel like that's something I needed. Didn't feel like I missed out on anything. My parents did a great job of raising me and my siblings. Early on in my life, you know, moving to a small rural community that I was from was very difficult. You know, not everyone accepted having two female parents, but as long as you kind of had each other, that's really all that matters.
Welcome to this family. And we'd like to present you with the John Mackey Award.
The John Mackey Award is an award given out to the nation's best tight end. I was very fortunate to win that award. The way that they told me was very special.
Trey, you won the Mackey Award.
Coming from them meant so much to me. Very blessed to have them as my parents.
Great story about a great young man in Trey McBride. You can find out where he gets drafted as ESPN will have every pick in the draft from Las Vegas. That's April 28th through 30th. It's also available on the NFL Network and ABC's coverage focused on the prospect's journey to the draft. All 3 days also available on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. You know, the Panthers own the 6th overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Many think they could be the first team to pull the trigger on a quarterback in the draft. However, the team might or might not be settled in on Sam Darnold as its starter. Here's OC Ben McAdoo on whether Sam Darnold is or is not their guy.
Sam was one of the things, one of the people that intrigued me to the job, to be honest with you. I think Sam does have some magic in his game. I think he's got some athleticism to him. I'm a team guy first, so whatever's best for the football team. You know, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, whatever the case may be, trading back, I'm good with it all as long as it helps the team. I think you evaluate each position a little bit differently, but at the end of the day, you have to pick a player that you're going to be happy with at that position, hopefully for the next decade.
So, Matt, Ben McAdoo did say that Sam Darnold was their starter and then walked it back less than 100 seconds later. So, who knows? Let me ask you this. What do you think the Panthers should do with that 6th overall pick?
Yeah, guys, I think they should look at that 6th overall pick and not use it. I think they should trade it. We have to remember, they don't pick again until number 137 overall. They have time to go from Charlotte to Baton Rouge, eat at Piccadilly with Ryan, go back to Charlotte and make this pick. They have so many needs as well, guys. Like, this is not a team that's one player away. They need a left tackle to go with that quarterback. So if I'm the Carolina Panthers, I'm calling every team that wants to come up for an offensive tackle, wants to come up for maybe the third pass rusher if they're still on the board, or even teams that want to come up for a wide receiver. You almost have to get out of this 6th pick. And maybe you're picking Kenny Pickett at 10, 11, 12 instead of number 6 overall, where I don't think anyone believes his value is at, but then also getting some of that draft capital. And if it means throwing Christian McCaffrey in there as well, I'm okay floating his name to try to get some capital for Scott Fitterer to start rebuilding this team.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot, Matt, because you mentioned that gap between their first and second picks. But I know they'd love to get back. I've heard the same thing about the Giants. I just don't hear any teams that are in a hurry to come up in this draft. So they might have difficulty finding that trade partner for the 6th pick. And then the McCaffrey thing as well. Maybe you could spin him off for picks, but he's going to make $11 million a year for the next 4 years. He played 10 games over the last 2 years. And you think about how teams address the running back position. Javonte Williams, 4 years, $8 million bucks in the second round. So teams from a team-building standpoint, I think that's more the area they're leaning than acquiring an expensive back.
Listen, we all know that Daniel Jeremiah likes to move the sticks. Well, also, David Tepper wants to move the sticks, too. And getting rid of Christian McCaffrey and not getting the quarterback you want at six, that ain't going to move the sticks for this owner. Like, you don't become a billionaire and buy one of these teams and say, you know what, I'm willing to wait the rest of my life to win a championship. And so, though it sounds like a good idea, because none of these quarterbacks are worth the sixth pick, and yes, it would be lovely to get that $11 million a year of Christian McCaffrey off of your books, but who's going to take him? This is all great for fantasy land, Matt, but in the real world, everyone knows that the Carolina Panthers are desperate. So unless we get one of these DNs to fall or one of these tackles to fall that these teams fall in love with, I don't believe anybody even wants the sixth pick, and they certainly don't want it for Christian McCaffrey. And you have an owner in Carolina that ain't trying to give away good players anyway. He wants to win. Now, this is going to be the executive level versus the coach's level, and I think the executive level will win.
Yeah, RC, okay, if we're keeping McCaffrey, that's good. He's a good player when he's on the field. Like DJ said, we got to get him back on the field. But I think the same thing applies. How do you go up to David Tepper and say, hey, number six pick, here's our plan, it's Kenny Pickett? You're going to look him in the face, the billionaire owner, and say, hey, our plan is Kenny Pickett, after we messed up last year and traded a two for Sam Darnold. So I think you got to be calling everybody you know in the media if you're the Panthers to say, hey, you know what, we might just take a left tackle. We'll draft Charles Cross or Ike Ekwonu if they're there, to try to almost manufacture a market so you can get out of it. And you're hoping and praying that those guys are available, that a left tackle falls, or that a defensive end falls, because those are the premier positions in this class. There's not great depth at either spot as well. Once you get past the first three tackles, kind of falls off. Once you get past the first four defensive ends, it really falls off. So that is where the Panthers got to be. They have to hope someone falls and they can get out of that spot, but it's not going to be as expensive as it normally would be.
And see, but that's the thing, man. We've been talking about food a lot here. You know what I mean? We've been talking about Piccadilly. If you're the Carolina Panthers, man, you eating one of them wish sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish there was some meat to this pick, because there really isn't. And so unless, like, some of those guys fall, they are in trouble. And you are absolutely right. If you're Matt Rule, you cannot walk up to David Tepper's office and say, you know what, we want Kenny Pickett. Maybe you could sell them on some of the upside of a guy like Malik Willis. This is the worst possible draft and the worst possible draft spot for the Carolina Panthers to only have this pick at six, have to wait until the fourth round, and also for there not to be that one quarterback or one guy we would all believe in enough to walk upstairs and tell our billionaire owner, we need to get him here.
Yeah, Swaggo, DJ said it. It's a difficult spot for Carolina. So let's say they don't draft a quarterback. Is there a veteran they should try to get? And if so, which one?
It's Jimmy Garoppolo, because there's slim pickings, okay? Listen, the bottom line is, the argument that you're going to make for Jimmy G is he's been to a Super Bowl. He's played in very high-leverage games. He's shown the propensity to play well at times when things are critical, and also be able to manage a football team. Like, that kind of cachet with the market that we're dealing with right now in the NFL. Therein lies the real problem. I understand exactly what Matt is saying. I understand what DJ is saying at RC. But I'm going to be the one. I'll be the villain, guys. I put everybody up here on the screen while I'm talking. I will be the villain of this draft season. Because last year when I was talking about Mac Jones not going number three, everybody thought I hated Mac Jones and he sucked and he wasn't good. That was never my point. Here's the deal with the quarterbacks in this draft, and we know how they control the temperature. They are not good enough for anybody to be afraid of moving up to get them. We would not, like what Matt is saying, if it was a quarterback that we had on a certain level, this would be a completely different conversation. These quarterbacks in this draft, and I hate to do it because these guys, big day coming up, and they can play. They have some good traits and solid, but ain't nobody breaking their neck to go get Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis or Matt Corral. Nobody's doing that. So the whole conversation that we're having, and to Matt's point, with the offensive tackle, the value of certain positions may get somebody to jump, but I just don't know if you can make this happen without that marquee guy that's a signal caller in this draft.
Well, I got to be honest, guys. I'm a guest on your show, and I don't want to be rude, but when I hear an outright lie, I feel like I have to call it out for what it is. And earlier, RC talked about church, and I am the son of a Baptist pastor. 11:30, that's halftime, okay? Nothing's over at 11:30, so I just want to make sure we're correct on the record here.
That might be the most important contribution to your crossover episode here today, DJ. We have much more coming from DJ a little bit later on in the show and the entire
DJ was on the Usher board. That's you was right. on the Usher board, DJ? DJ was on the Usher board. Yes, he had the white gloves on, RC.
Hey, children's church. Church, then Sunday school. That's a threefer.
Children's church, yeah.
Priorities on Sunday in the house of Daniel Jeremiah. Let's get back to our breaking news here on NFL Live this afternoon. That is Deebo Samuel requesting to be traded from the San Francisco 49ers. Adam Schefter is back with us. Schefty, what more can you add to this situation?
Well, Field, in an offseason in which we've seen Amari Cooper and Tariq Hill and Davante Adams be traded, we now have another wide receiver that would like to be dealt from his team. The issue here, of course, is that Deebo Samuel is as important to the 49ers as any player on their franchise. And for them to trade, even consider trading Deebo Samuel, it would take a huge offer to get him. And any acquiring team would have to compensate the 49ers and Deebo Samuel with the type of big wide receiver contract that's going around this offseason to Davante Adams and Tariq Hill and Stephon Diggs. And so it's a complicated deal to pull off. Not that it can't be done. Deebo Samuel would like it to be done, but it doesn't mean it will get done on draft weekend. But it's one other issue to watch as the draft is now 8 days away.
Again, Shefty, the news cycle this offseason has been unparalleled. Just when it seemed like it was slowing down a little bit, boom, Deebo Samuel requests a trade from the 49ers. More from Shefty coming up on NFL Live. And more on the show in general is Giants running back Saquon Barkley put the league on notice and sounded off about his mindset for 2022. Can he and the Giants actually be competitive this year? Find that next on NFL Live.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Time now for a little game of Read and React back here on NFL Live. We begin with the Super Bowl champion Rams. Cooper Kupp won the receiving Triple Crown last year, leading the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. Became just the fourth player to do that since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970, and the first since Steve Smith Sr. back in 2005. Sterling Sharp and Jerry Rice also did it in the early 90s. In an exploding wide receiver market, Kupp is due for a new deal. He had this to say when asked if he'd like to reset the market.
I don't think that's really kind of the approach that I take. I think there's, you know, guys are slotted in different places. I definitely think there's a place that you want to be. There's a place that I think you feel like is fair and a place for both, you know, for me and just for this organization. And I want to be there. I'm not trying to beat anybody. I'm not trying to, compare myself to anyone else. It's more of just, you know, being in a place that is, I think being in a place that is just right for both sides.
Hefty, first of all, wow, Cooper Kupp is very underpaid by top wide receiver standards. Think the Rams are going to work to give him a new deal?
Yeah, listen, both sides want to get it done. They're incentivized to get it done. And the Rams know that it's the right thing to do for a player who has produced at the level that Cooper Kupp has. At some point this offseason, I do anticipate that they'll figure out some sort of deal, as Cooper Kupp said, that works for both sides. That's fair. The Rams have two major orders of business left. One is with Aaron Donald. One is with Cooper Kupp. They've been thinking about and planning for both. no surprise if there should be something at some point before the season for the great wide receiver Cooper Kupp.
Two guys who are incredible at their jobs deserve a pay raise sooner rather than later. Let's go to the Browns as their offseason program is underway, and Deshaun Watson has been the building for it. His head coach, Kevin Stefanski, had more on the new QB1 in Cleveland.
The quarterback, you do want this to be a collaboration, and it's really all quarterbacks are different, and you want to make sure you meet them where they are. Deshaun's very open-minded to trying different things that he hasn't done. Similarly, we're very open-minded to putting in schemes that he has a lot of success in that we haven't done, for instance. So it's an ongoing conversation.
RC, how should this Browns offense change with Deshaun Watson under center?
Well, the first thing is this. Unlike Cooper Kupp, who is now on TJ Maxx layaway for the Los Angeles Rams, Deshaun Watson got $230 million guaranteed. So Kevin Stefanski is right. You have to be willing to do some of the things that he likes to do. But let's think about this offense that got Jimmy G to a Super Bowl, this offense that allowed Kirk Cousins to be extremely good, this offense that got RG3 the rookie of the year. When Deshaun Watson can get into that play action in that boot game, some of that misdirection, I believe that he'll be dynamic. So some of those principles should stay, because if you have an offense that can be successful with some of these quarterbacks who aren't as talented as him, think about what you could do now in Cleveland with a guy who's an absolute superstar.
And a final piece of the puzzle here as we head to the Giants minicamp, where running back Saquon Barkley had the chance to speak on his mindset going into this upcoming season, and this one's worth a listen here.
My phone was like blowing up, so I was like, what the heck? First I thought I got traded, but I was like, because you never know in today's world. I really didn't take it as, oh, dang, he want to get rid of me, or he want to get, or the Giants want to trade me. He's supposed to, you know, do whatever he feels that can help this team win. My mindset, to be honest, I kind of just want to kill, like, go crazy. I'm just tired of, you know, whatever's written about me, the BS that's said about me or this team, and I want to go out there and prove to this organization that the player that they drafted is still there.
Swaggy with some quiet confidence there from Saquon. What do you make of it?
I hear you, Saquon. There's a dance that made a craze in America, babyface, called Do the Quan. That's what I need Saquon Barkley to do. And in order to do that, you got to be healthy, bro. Nobody asks questions about if you're talented. We know you have elite skill sets. We know that you can play outside of your mind. You have to be available. With Brian Daboll now, who's going to be calling plays, I don't know what the quarterback situation will be. This team is in better hands. You stay healthy. You show what you showed your rookie year to everybody, and all of these questions will go away. So I get it. I love the fact that he has an attitude. He's ready to get after it. But health is wealth, and that is where Saquon Barkley needs to make his most his jump, mostly than anything else.
If anybody wants to see Swaggy hit the Quan, subscribe to ESPN+. I'm told there is a special featuring just that. Oh, he's giving a little teaser here on NFL Live. We are not done here on NFL Live. It's after the break. The biggest story of the day is Deebo Samuel wanting out in San Francisco. Shefty gives the latest on the star wide receiver and his trade request. Here are two of our featured upcoming NHL matchups. Thursday night, two of the top teams in the East square off. The Leafs and the Lightning are at 8 Eastern. And our ABC Saturday hockey matinee has the Bruins hosting the Rangers at 3 Eastern, 2 Central. That one's also available on ESPN+. We're back with our breaking news on NFL Live. One more time, revisiting our top story with Shefty. What can you tell us about the latest with Deebo Samuel?
Well, Phil, we have another big-time trade request from another wide receiver. There are a lot of receivers right now who are not showing up to their team's offseason programs. Deebo Samuel, not there. Scrub the 49ers logos off his social media pages. Clearly unhappy. My understanding is we'd have to hear from Deebo himself. I'm sure there are a multitude of factors as to why he would like to be traded, but I think one of them is the fact that he simply prefers to be closer to home, South Carolina, not out west in California. California, San Francisco chose him. He didn't choose that. How many people leave school and go where they don't have to go? Deebo is in that situation. I think he'd like to be closer to home somehow. Now, again, there are other issues, of course. We'll see if the two sides can figure out a way to work it out, but it's still a difficult trade to complete, as much as he doesn't want to be back in San Francisco. And then the question becomes, if they can't deal him, what then? And the question becomes, well, the 49ers can hold on to him. He could try to withhold his services. If he doesn't show up for the start of training camp, then he would lose an accrued season towards free agency. There are a whole host of issues ahead. They're not there yet. And maybe somehow something changes between now and then. But for right now, Deebo Samuel wants to be traded.
Every time we think the NFL has reached its apex, it just one-ups itself during this crazy NFL offseason. Shefty, great stuff from the UL show. We'll talk to you again soon here on NFL Live. Time for a segment where we cover all the draft storylines. And with Daniel Jeremiah at Move the Sticks on Twitter joining us on our crossover from the NFL Network today, we had to ask a little bit, do a little bit of Ask the Draft Analyst with him and DJ. I'm going to go first in this very appropriately named segment, Ask DJ. With Deebo Samuel asking for a trade, if you are a wide receiver needy team, do you trade for one of those wide receivers that's a veteran right now, or do you just draft one for what we believe is a very deep class this year?
I think it depends on where your quarterback is in the process. I think if Josh Allen is a young, talented quarterback, you go out and get a veteran in Stephon Diggs. Your quarterback's not making much. You can take on a big receiver contract. So if I'm a team like the Jets or the Patriots with a young quarterback, I think it makes sense parting with picks to go bring in a talented veteran player. It works financially, and it works from a development standpoint.
DJ, if you are the Green Bay Packers, right, you in a good position because this is a wide receiver deep draft. But if you identify that one guy that you think Aaron Rodgers can make some type of magic with, like he did with Devontae, do you package those and go up and get it, or do you stand pat and hope that you can get two guys that come in and impact?
It's a great question. I think talking to teams, they feel like the strength of this draft is kind of where the Packers are already situated. I think teams are trying to navigate their way into where they are. I think they're better suited just to stay where they are. It's a deep group of wideouts. So a guy like Treylon Burks could be there when they pick. You stick and pick him, and you want to add an edge rusher, somebody like an Arnold Ebikadi from Penn State. You get two quality football players, and that's the other side. When you have a veteran quarterback, you can afford to take some of these younger wide receivers. Aaron Rodgers is going to make anybody they take there a quality NFL player.
DJ, unlike our friend Bucky Brooks, I did not go to a basketball school. I went to a football school, and we like hard-hitting safeties. I've been extremely impressed with Lewis Cine from the University of Georgia. I think he has range. He's a guy that's a running hit safety. Is he your number two safety in this draft? And if so, how far off is he from a guy like Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah, no, he's a really good football player, RC. To me, it depends kind of how you classify some of these other safeties. When you look at Petrie from Baylor, Daxton Hill from Michigan, those guys are probably going to be nickels. So if you're talking just pure safeties, I would have him as number two right there behind Hamilton. I think there's a little bit of a gap just in terms of the ball production, the ball skills. Hamilton just gets his hand on a lot more footballs. I think he's a little bit more instinctive. But I do think Cine has a chance to get himself into the bottom of round one. He is an explosive athlete.
Yeah.
All right, DJ, we can't have you come on here and not talk about the quarterback position because it has dominated really the entire calendar this year. So looking at this year compared to the last three quarterback drafts, where do you slot in guys like Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis with what we've seen the last few years at the position?
Well, I mean, let's just go back a year, Matt, and you look at that crop last year. Davis Mills was my sixth quarterback. I would take Davis Mills over any quarterback in this draft. And I'm not trying to be harsh here. That's just the reality of where we are. And that's why as we get closer to the draft, you know, we kind of go on these cycles. Will they or won't they go? I got to believe if you're a team picking one of these guys this year, in the back of your mind, are you thinking, am I going to have to replace this guy a year from now? A year from now, am I going to say, this guy's just not good enough? And that's why I think we see these guys drop when it's all said and done.
All right, so DJ, just a few years ago, there was a star quarterback at a small school in Appalachian State. Let's go ahead and watch some of the highlights here. Look at this man.
Oh,
running
wow.
like Malik Willis, number 17. That is Daniel Jeremiah. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything other than you were a star quarterback and probably should still be playing in the NFL like you were Tom Brady. You just wanted to be on TV and hang out with us instead. Let's be a little more serious, I suppose. Is there a small school quarterback that you think has the potential in this class that you like most?
You know what? I like Cole Kelly from Southeastern Louisiana. He's a transfer from Arkansas. He's big. He's athletic. Yep. He's got a big arm. He was outstanding down at the NFLPA Bowl. Did a nice job down there. And if you've ever heard him talk, I mean, he has the best Louisiana accent. I mean, Brian Kelly would kill to have this dude's accent, man.
You might have it by the end of the year.
If you're the LSU head coach.
Oh, man. Hey, come on now. You got to be careful. We got some LSU guys here on the show. Hey, we have time quickly. We have time quickly for one more thing. One more thing here on NFL Live. As Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, was asked today, what's he going to be doing during the first round of the NFL draft? Here's what he had to say.
We were trying to figure out what we were going to do on draft day, you know, and one of the guys said, he goes, we'll just watch Tyreek highlights, you know, in the draft room and make us feel good.
It's like a pretty good idea right there. I would watch Tyreek Hill highlights if he was on my roster as well. We got to take a special moment to thank our guy, Daniel Jeremiah. Go find him at Move the Sticks on Twitter and watch his draft analysis. It is excellent. DJ Swagoo, RC, and Matt, thanks as always. NFL Live back tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.